It's Saturday, September 15, 2018, from Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shelvin, publisher of AS21 Media, here to bring you the literary news for the second full week of September 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from The Guardian. Battle over EU copyright law heads for showdown. Fought with hashtags, mail shots, open letters, and celebrity endorsements, the battle over the European Union's draft directive on copyright heads for a showdown this week. After 2 years of debate, members of the European Parliament will vote on Wednesday on the legislation, which could change the balance of power between producers of music, news, and film, and the dominant websites that host their work. Produced in 2016 to update copyright law for the age of Facebook and Google, the directive has unleashed a ferocious lobbying war. Lawmakers have been bombarded with millions of emails and thousands of calls, many based on standard scripts written by lobbyists. Some have even received death threats, according to the French MEP Virginia Rozière. Critics claim the proposal will destroy the internet, spelling the end of sharing holiday snaps or memes on Facebook. Proponents are exasperated by such claims, described by German Christian Democrat Axel Voss as totally wrong and fake news. Amid last-minute writing and rewriting of amendments, the final outcome cannot be predicted. The proposals were rejected by the European Parliament in July, despite earlier support in a relevant committee. Also in the news, on Sunday, from Publishing Perspectives, the Russian State Library's consolidation program moves up forward amid staff shakeups. More than 2 years in, a controversial plan to streamline and consolidate Russia's library system includes staff leadership shakeups across the country. From Budget Travel, 7 unique bookstores in the U.S., from California to Massachusetts, independent bookstores are national treasures. From The Guardian, on the Jungle Trail, revisiting Kipling's children's classic, Catherine Rundle was thrilled by the idea of plunging back into the world of Mowgli, Bagheera, and Mother Wolf, but could she create a prequel to The Jungle Book without killing the magic? And finally on Sunday, from Bleeding Cool, comics folk remember Terry Wiley. On Sunday, Bleeding Cool reported on the death of comic book creator Terry Wiley, who died from the brain cancer he has been suffering with for the last 2 years, and the comics world reacted.
Monday.
Top story from Wired, Google wants to kill the URL. Google's Chrome browser turns 10 today, and its short life, it has introduced a lot of radical changes to the web. From popularizing auto-updates to aggressively promoting HTTPS web encryption, the Chrome security team likes to grapple with big conceptual problems. That reach and influence can be divisive, though, and as Chrome looks ahead to its next 10 years, the team is mulling its most controversial initiative yet, fundamentally rethinking URLs across the web. Uniform resource locators are the familiar web address you use every day. They are listed in the web's DNS address book and direct browsers to the right internet protocol address that identify and differentiate web servers. In short, you navigate to wired.com to read Wired, so you don't have to manage complicated routing protocols and strings of numbers. But over time, URLs have gotten more and more difficult to read and understand. As web functionality has expanded, URLs have increasingly become unintelligible strings of gibberish combining components from third parties or being masked by link shorteners and redirect schemes. And on mobile devices, there isn't room to display much of a URL at all. The Chrome team has been thinking about URL security for a long time. In 2014, it tried out a formatting feature called the Origin Chip that only showed the main domain name of sites to help ensure that users knew which domain they were actually browsing on. If you want to see the full URL, you could click the chip and the rest of the URL bar was just a Google search box. The experiment garnered praise from some for making web identity more straightforward, but it also generated criticism. Within a few weeks of showing up in a Chrome pre-release, Google paused the Origin Chip rollout. Also in the news on Monday from the Lexington Herald Leader, Joseph Beth Booksellers, president and CEO, loses job and store future is unknown. Whether Mark Wilson's departure will affect the futures of any of the three stores, including the centerpiece Joseph Beth store at Lexington Green, could not be determined. From the bookseller, Dutchman wins Welsh bookshop in raffle draw. Dutchman Sejan van Heerden has won a bookshop in Cardigan, West Wales, in a raffle draw. From LitHub, what your roommate's favorite book says about them, more revealing than their star sign, with your luck, triple Scorpio. And finally, on Monday from the New York Times, to restore civil society, start with the library. This crucial institution is being neglected just when we need it the most. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. Listeners to this and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are eligible for a free audiobook from Audible. Visit audibletrial.com/AS21 today and get your first month on Audible for free. It's when you sign up, you get that first month, and that means you get that first audiobook for free, and once you download it, you keep it forever. Choose from 180,000 titles. This past week, I finished Canterbury Tales by Geoffrey Chaucer, and then stepped back into fiction by picking up a new title I had heard about, the Wayfarer series by Becky Chambers, with the first book, The Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. Next up for me, I'm delving back into the world of baseball with nonfiction with One Last Strike by Tony La Russa, former Major League Baseball manager. 180,000 titles to choose from, I'm sure there'll be something there that'll catch your interest, whether it be fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or other. By listening to audiobooks, you can take your reading with you, and you can continue to do your reading no matter what else you have to do. Read while you work, read while you commute, read while you work out. You can do it all with audiobooks, so visit Audible today at audibletrial.com/AS21. Sign up today, get your first book for free, your first month for free. If you stay with the service or not, that first audiobook is yours forever. So check it out today, audibletrial.com/AS21.
Tuesday.
Top story from DigiDay, how The Atlantic, LA Times, and others are staffing up. Newsroom jobs declined 23% over the past decade, according to the Pew Research Center, and tech giants including Google, Facebook, and Amazon are gobbling up most of the digital ad growth, but some publishers, in some cases helped by moneyed backers, are on hiring sprees. Here's how five are staffing up. The Atlantic. The magazine is about halfway through a plan to hire 100 people over 12 months, helped by funding from Lorien Powell Jobs' Emerson Collective, which took a majority stake in The Atlantic last year. The additions will raise the overall headcount by nearly 30% to 430. Business Insider, the Axel Springer-owned digital publisher, turned an unexpected profit during the first half of 2018 after its ad business and subscription businesses exceeded their revenue targets. In late August, Chief Content Officer Nicholas Carson reorganized the two brands, Insider and Business Insider, to make BI more about business and less about politics, defense, and news and other categories. That's why they haven't been showing up in my news feed. From BuzzFeed, the venture-backed publisher let go of nearly 120 people over the past year and is now looking to fill 55 roles on a rolling basis as it tries to diversify its revenues away from branded content. From Condé Nast lost a reported $120 million in 2017, shut down print editions, and is entertaining the sale of some of its titles. CEO Bob Sauerberg has 5 years to make the magazine publisher less dependent on print advertising and more focused on digital video ads, B2B services, and data. That will mean hiring around 250 people over the next 16 months, Sauerberg said. In the Los Angeles Times, the day he became the new owner of the LA Times, billionaire biotech entrepreneur Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong named Norman Perlstein the paper's top editor. Since then, the paper has put up more than 24 job listings to help restore a paper Dr. Soon-Shiong had said had been reduced to a shadow of its former self through years of layoffs and rapid turnover in the executive ranks. Also in the news on Tuesday from WDRB, New Galena Digital Library opens in Floyd County, Indiana. It puts an emphasis on technology and digital resources. The library features a maker space room with a 3D printer, vinyl cutter, laser etcher, and sewing machine. From the bookseller, 6 indies win Pan Max Innovation Competition. Indies from The Madding Crowd, Imagine Things, Hunting Raven, Mostly Books, Moon Lane Inc., and Newham Bookshop have all been named winners of the Independent Bookshop Innovation Award. From The Guardian, the wonky donkey viral video of grandmother makes Big Picture book a bestseller. A Scottish grandmother's reading of a 2009 children's book to her grandson has seen demand for its skyrocket around the world.
Wednesday.
Top story from The Florentine. Florence is the leading English bookstore for sale. A dream that began 39 years ago in the shadow of the Duomo for a book-loving couple has yielded a professional and personal experience that has been profitable, stimulating, and deeply satisfying. But now, Emily Rosner and Mauricio Panici, the founders of the Paperback Exchange of Florence, Italy, want to retire. They seek a special buyer filled with enthusiasm for books, community-oriented, and interested in setting up shop here in Florence, or, if from abroad, relocating to this alluring city. They look forward to helping in the transition of this vibrant business into your hands. The Paperback Exchange serves the large English reading population in Florence and Tuscany, and importantly, most of the American universities present in central Italy. Through the robust tourism sector, it has become one of the most popular retail destinations of its kind. Also in the news on Wednesday from the bookseller, Heedley and Hamdi to launch London Crime and Thriller Festival. A Comic-Con-style crime and thriller festival will launch in London in 2019, founded by Goldsboro Books MD David Heedley and novelist and screenwriter Adam Hamdi. From Quartz, some words sound lovelier than others, and learning a new language can teach you why. When we listen to a foreign language, we may hear words which do not exist in our mother tongue, it may sound different from anything we have ever heard before. The first time we hear something new, a foreign sound or word, even an unknown word in our own languages, something in it may provoke delight or revulsion. From news at Cornell University, 7 Cornell University projects awarded 2018 digitization grants. Seasoned documents and artifacts are starting fresh digital lives through the Grants Program for Digital Collections in Arts and Sciences, which is funding 7 projects this year. Launched in 2010, the program supports faculty members and graduate students in creating online collections vital for their own and for general scholarship. And finally, on Wednesday from The Guardian, Gestures of Sharing and Love, the mini library is giving books to the community. In an era of funding cuts to public services, the Little Free Library scheme in Leeds is making reading accessible to all.
Thursday.
Top story from Bloomberg, Time Inc. buyer Meredith cuts 200 jobs as it merges magazines. Meredith Corp., the magazine publisher that acquired Time Inc. earlier this year, is eliminating about 200 jobs as it slashes costs and merges publications. Cooking Light and Eating Well will be combined into one publication, the company said on Wednesday. It also plans to outsource back-office newsstand functions such as billing and collections. Meredith, known for publications such as Better Homes and Gardens, expanded its portfolio with $1.8 billion takeover of Time Incorporated in January. Now it's looking for ways to eliminate duplication and streamline operations. It also put some of Time Inc.'s biggest publications up for sale, including Sports Illustrated, Fortune, and Time itself. As of the end of June, Meredith had about 7,500 full-time workers and 415 part-time employees. With the culinary magazines, the idea is to retain Eating Well as a print magazine that's published 10 times a year. Cooking Light will live on as an online and social media brand, Meredith said. Also in the news on Thursday from The Hill, Woodward book breaks 93-year publishing record. Bob Woodward's new book, Fear Trump in the White House, sold more than 750,000 copies through its first day of release, the most of any title in Simon & Schuster history, according to the 94-year-old publisher. From the bookseller, trade bodies welcome European Parliament's vote for draft copyright directive. The Publishers Association, the Booksellers Association, and the Society of Authors have all welcomed the European Parliament's vote in favor of the new copyright directive. From the blogs at Columbia University Libraries, Freedom of Information Archive receives 2-year grant from Arcadia. History Lab at Columbia University Libraries are pleased to announce that a new grant of $407,000 from Arcadia, a charitable fund of Elizabeth Rousing and Peter Baldwin. The grant will enable History Lab to partner with Columbia Libraries to continue building the Freedom of Information Archive, which is already the world's largest database of declassified documents. And finally, on Thursday from LitHub, do you really need a degree to be a librarian? Kristen Arnett has some career advice for you. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
Join AS21 as we return to Frostburg, Maryland for the Western Maryland Independent Literature Festival on October 5th and 6th at downtown Frostburg, Maryland, as Frostburg State University's Center for Literary Arts put on the 12th annual Western Maryland Independent Literature Festival, happening October 5th and 6th with a kickoff Friday night, and as well as a kickoff reading at Main Street Books. On Saturday, join us for a full day of panels, roundtables, readings, and a book fair at locations on Main Street and Broadway in Frostburg, Maryland. Registration begins in the Center for Literary Arts at 10:30 a.m. Please note that the book fair will be held in Lyric Theater at 20 East Main Street, and AS21 will be there. All events are free of charge, the public is welcome and encouraged to attend all events. Visit frostburg.edu/CLLA/indie-lit-festival today, as well as events.as21.com for more information.
Friday.
Top story from Gizmodo, actually from the day before, but we caught it on Friday. European Parliament approves catastrophic copyright bill that threatens the internet. Members of the European Parliament voted Wednesday to approve a sweeping overhaul of the EU's copyright laws that includes 2 controversial articles that threaten to hand more power to the richest tech companies and generally break the internet. Overall, MEPs voted in favor of the EU copyright directive with a strong majority of 438 to 226. But the process isn't over. There's still more parliamentary procedures to go through, and individual countries will eventually have to decide how they intend to implement the rules. That's part of the reason that it's so difficult to raise public awareness on the issue. Momentum to oppose the legislation built up earlier this summer, culminating with Parliament deciding to open it up for amendments in July. Many people have thought the worst was over. It wasn't. But make no mistake, today's vote in favor of the directive was extremely consequential. The biggest issue with this legislation has been Articles 11 and 13. These two provisions have come to be known as the link tax and upload filter requirements, respectively. We've covered both issues in previous editions of the podcast. I encourage you to look it up online and make your own opinion of the copyright changes. And remember, this is European copyright, not the American copyright, so it doesn't have as wide-ranging of an effect in the United States. Also news on Friday from the bookseller, Patterson donates £50,000 to UK school libraries. Author James Patterson is donating £50,000 to school libraries in the UK via a new scheme set up by Scholastic Book Clubs. From the Seattle Times, Eudora Welty gets first marker on Mississippi Writer's Trail. A writer of novels and short stories, Welty died in 2001 at age 92. She produced a body of work heavily influenced by Mississippi, including the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel The Optimist's Daughter. From news at Penn State University, Penn State's Pettit Library renovation to expand student study collaboration spaces, proposed collaboration commons to increase available group study rooms and central atrium to fill, connect all four floors of Pettit's Library's west and central sections. From Atlas Obscura, The Adventures of America's Most Well-Traveled Bookstore, since 2015, Rita Collins has been taking her love of books on the road. From The Guardian, why you should read this article slowly. Amid fears of shrinking attention spans, it's time to stop skimming our screens and try slow reading. It is rich in rewards. And finally on Friday from LitHub, after a storm on the artist's life in Puerto Rico post-Maria, Hurricane Maria was not merely a setback or temporary disaster, the threat was existential.
Saturday.
Top story from The Guardian, French bookshops revolt after Prize selects novel self-published on Amazon. French booksellers have called on literary judges to defend books and not those who threaten them, after one of France's most prestigious prizes selected a self-published novel available only via Amazon. Among the 17 titles of contention for this year's Prix Renaudot is Marco Kostka's Brand de France, which was self-published on Amazon's CreateSpace platform. According to the Syndicat de la Librairie Française, which represents French booksellers, the jury have put them in an impossible position. The French-Israeli author, who has published more than a dozen books via more traditional routes, told The Guardian he was forced to put out an edition of Brand de France himself after no French publisher picked it up. The novel is only available for sale through the internet giant, so according to the Syndicat, it is technically and commercially almost impossible for bookshops to put it on their shelves. So is the problem the prize, or is the problem French publishers who wouldn't publish the book? Also in the news on Saturday from the bookseller, Granta shutters Portobello imprint. Granta Publications is closing its Portobello Books imprint as of January 2019. From the Washington Post, the board of a West Virginia library reverses decision to refuse Fear. Patrons of a library in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia wouldn't find a copy of Bob Woodward's new book about the first year of the Trump administration, and the director of the Morgan County Public Library wanted to keep it that way. But Connie Perry, the president of the trustees of the Morgan County Public Library in Berkeley Springs, said Friday afternoon by phone that her town library will carry Bob Woodward's Fear. From Quartz, the two biggest threats to academic freedom have come together in China. A year ago, Cambridge University Press made the shock announcement that it was pulling more than 300 articles from its China Quarterly website in China at the request of the government there. It then reversed itself, declining to pull the articles, which covered topics like the 1989 Tiananmen uprising and analysis of Communist Party leaders. Soon after, however, other major academic publishers revealed they had acquiesced to censorship requests from Beijing. From The Hill, Texas State Board of Education votes to erase Hillary Clinton and others from history curriculum. The State Boards of Education in Texas voted on Friday to eliminate several historical figures, including Hillary Clinton and Helen Keller, from the state's social studies curriculum. Members of the volunteer group that made such recommendations to the board said the state requires children to learn about too many historical figures. From The Guardian, Matilda's New Adventures of 30 Astrophysicist Explorer or Bookworm. To mark three decades since Roald Dahl's heroine first appeared, her illustrator, Quentin Blake, has imagined her life now. From The Nation out of Kenya, Malawian diplomat and poet David Rabadiri dies. Author, journalist Charles Onyango Abo said David Rabadiri was one of the continent's most anthologized and celebrated post-independence poets, was also its most quintessentially African authors. Rest in peace. And finally on Saturday from Global Voices Summit 2017, can traditional indigenous knowledge coexist with an open internet? Can thoughts, language, customs, and ideas rooted in a specific context, history, and culture be embedded in a commons where truly anyone can contribute? Information about speakers and panelists for this session can be found at globalvoices.org. We have two listener submissions this week. First from Fox News, New Study Finds Fiction Reading Down and Poetry Up. And from Publishers Weekly, Publishers Call Out Target for Censoring Bulk Descriptions. You may have to look into that a bit more next week. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsors with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer, and you might notice something different there.
This episode is sponsored by...
This podcast is brought to you by Fall for the Book, the annual literary festival in Northern Virginia, focused at George Mason University campus in Fairfax, as well as other areas around the community. Join us for 4 days of activities, October 10th through 13th, including appearances by Gwendolyn Brooks, Aaliyah Malik, John Lewis, and more. AS21 will be there for the book fair on Saturday, and make sure you take part of the full schedule to participate. That's October 10th through 13th at the George Mason University campus and around Fairfax, Virginia, the Fall for the Book 2018. Visit www.fallforthebook.org for more information or events.as21.com.
Hello, this is Fiona the AOS21 computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 8th of September. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Leverage and Death by J.D. Robb. Hardcover fiction number 1, Leverage and Death by J.D. Robb. Paperback trade fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, 21 Lessons for the 21st Century by Yuval Noah Harari. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari, Young Adult Hardcover number 1, The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas, and from Publishers Weekly, chosen from a Twitter poll this past week, top 10 overall number 1, Dogman, Lord of the Flies, from the creator of Captain Underpants, Dogman number 5, by Dan Pilkey, top hardcover front list fiction number 1, Leverage and Death by J.D. Robb, top hardcover front list non-fiction number 1, Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis, top trade paper front list number 1, Rich People Problems by Kevin Kwan. Top Mass Market Front List Number 1, Haunted by James Patterson and James O'Born. Top Children's Front List Fiction Number 1, Dogman, Lord of the Flies, from the creator of Captain Underpants. Dogman Number 5, by Dan Pilkey. Okay, so the list has gotten longer, but shorter, but hopefully more trustworthy. Let us know by tweeting at AS21 what you think. Now back to Keith for the Home Report.
Thank you, Fiona. Now for the Home Report. You may have noticed that the bestseller lists are different this week. We held a Twitter poll this past week asking which bestseller list people trust the most, the New York Times, Publishers Weekly, Wall Street Journal, or Amazon. And the top two vote-getters, the New York Times and Publishers Weekly, will be appearing from now on as the bestseller list read by Fiona the Computer, with only the number one spot for each category listed. This is done because there are far more categories listed for Publishers Weekly than Amazon had listed before. This past week, we announced AS21 merchandise is now available on tpublic.com. The direct-to-garment retailer features designs from several AS21 podcasts and titles. Visit the new store today by clicking the link at as21.com or visit tpublic.com/stores/as21-market. AS21 Audio has renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, at surveys.as21.com, and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and entered for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or whatever podcast service you're listening to, and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience and can also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing? Leave 5 stars and a short review. Not so much? Leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. We appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast services. And if we see some reviews out there, who knows, we might even share them on upcoming episodes of AS21 Podcasts. On Sunday, the latest chapter of the Publish Me podcast was released as Paul, Rana, and I updated listeners on the editing of Will of the Magi and discussed paying artists for their work. Find Publish Me on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. The World's Only Podcast was released on Monday. Our thoughtful commentators Ian Roberts and Joshua Silverman discussed a war of words between Canada and Saudi Arabia, hacking and election security, prison strikes, and the problem with baseball. Find the world's only on Podomatic everywhere else you get your podcasts and audio.as21.com. Wednesday, there was a special release from our audio staff through ePress 21. Check out ePress21.tumblr.com and then visit ePress21.com to let us know how we can help you with your audio project. On Saturday, the first performance of the Interlude Sentimental Me stage play was at 3 p.m. at Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Tickets are still available for the second performance this coming Saturday through Eventbrite. Submissions have now closed for the 2018 AS21 Annual. We'll be contacting all of the contributors as we put together the latest edition of our electronic literary magazine. Visit as21.com/annual for more information, and sponsorship opportunities are still available. In the week ahead, we'll be announcing details of the upcoming AS21 Annual, including more information about our launch party on October 21st at Walls and Books in Washington, D.C. So sign up for our weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. On Tuesday, the next edition of Passion on the Page Poetry Podcast should be released. Find Passion on the Page on SoundCloud, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Friday is the 21st of the month, and the ePress 21 webinar, Are You Ready to Self-Publish? Sign up today at ePress21.com for just $6. After the webinar at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time is the monthly webcast Ask AS21 on the 21st. Join me on Periscope and YouTube for discussion of books, podcasts, and video series. The recording of the webcast will be posted to AS21 YouTube channel afterward and video.as21.com. On Saturday, Between the Beltways returns as election season jumps into full gear. Join hosts Deepan Chatterjee and Sriyasi Deb as they dive into the headlines, polling data, and top stories from the central Maryland counties of Montgomery, Howard, and Prince George's. Find Between the Beltways on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Remember, you can support this and the other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series on Patreon. Support today starting at just $1 a month, and you'll get access to a creative-only blog with news directly from our creators, special episodes of some of the podcasts you love, and other wonderful special gifts. Go to patreon.com/as21 and become a patron of the arts today. Also, remember, you can sponsor this and the other AS21 podcasts through AdvertiseCast. We have various rates available, ranging from 15 seconds up to a minute, as well as special bonuses such as postings on AS21 Twitter account and our Facebook pages. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. We are now available on Spotify, so welcome to all Spotify subscribers as they listen today. Otherwise, you can find our podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?